Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn the Geek from chilly, snow-covered horse capital of the world, Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 27th, 2010, episode 41, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning to everybody in the Northeast. That was an honor of all of our friends, including Helena, my co-host up there in Rhode Island, who we have not heard from this morning and don't know whether she's buried under 3 feet of snow or not. Of course, they had a wicked blizzard up there in the Northeast and still going on, from what I understand. Some places in New Jersey, Jamie, had 30 inches of snow with up to hurricane force winds at 60 to 70 miles an hour.
Oh, so, my gosh, that's unlivable.
Especially for those that live in the Arizona desert. Imagining that must be difficult.
It is. And then to throw, you know, horses are no easy job. Okay, I mean, owning a horse, so if you have a horse boarding facility, you breed horses, you raise horses, you train horses, and you're in that kind of weather, I mean, what are you doing? Move somewhere nicer, my gosh.
Well, you know, it's funny because we tried to convince Helena to move down here when she moved, actually, to Rhode Island from Massachusetts. She wanted to be close to the ocean. I said, well, you can only go to the ocean like 2 months a year up there. And you can only go in the water like 2 days in August. That's the only time it's ever warm enough. So,
you've got your ocean. They have ocean down in Florida, too, in South Carolina and North Carolina, all those coastal states.
They had some snow, too, down there. It's been snowy all over the East Coast. We had a white Christmas here in Lexington when we woke up. We had a fresh blanket of snow. It was kind of nice. We got to go out to the barn on Christmas afternoon. But before we get to all of that, I just wanted to tell everybody that if you're in the Northeast and you're in the middle of all of this and can call and give us a report, do that at 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what's going on, or if you still have power. And we're hoping, Helena, we're giving you a shout-out here. Give us a call if you can hear us. Otherwise, I think she's probably out trying to unbury the horse, the barn and the horses and all of that at this point, too.
Yeah,
but let's
go
right to Jennifer because she has a busy morning here, and then we'll chat a little bit after. So what's coming up on today's show, Jennifer?
On today's show, we have Samantha Penley, creator of thehorsepedia.com. It's a little nifty little website filled with interesting horse topics and horse people who are making a positive impact. So it's kind of cool in that respect. It doesn't dwell on the gossip and the crap. It really focuses on the positive parts of horsedom. And after that, we will be going to be talking with Amarita Eibold, breeder and competitor of Akol Teki horses. And I'm sure I pronounced that wrong.
Easy,
I'm sorry, Amarita. And she appears to be a little bit of an extreme athlete as well. That's going to be as well, because that's going to be an interesting conversation. And, of course, everybody will have to catch up with what's been going on since the weekend and the holiday. And I'm sure there's going to be some side-splitting stories. If you've got one, give us a call.
Okay, so thank you, Jennifer. And the first question, of course, Jamie, is did he get home?
Glenn, it was like a Christmas miracle. I'm not going to lie. It was so amazing on, I believe it was Thursday the 23rd. He was slated to get home at 1:20 in the afternoon. And so, actually, ironically, my family was coming to visit me this Christmas, and they were supposed to get in at 1:12 in the afternoon.
I got to tell you that I saw that there's something, and I'm looking for it now. Let me see if that got uploaded here. Hold on a second. Yeah, I think that somebody from what TV station can probably explain it better?
It would be the NBC affiliate here in Phoenix.
Jamie Jennings was also anxiously waiting at Terminal 3.
My husband has been in Pakistan for quite some time, so he's actually arriving back home here at 1:20.
But as fate would have it, Jamie's family, whom she also hasn't seen in months, would arrive from Atlanta just minutes before on opposite sides of the terminal. The anticipation was gut-wrenching.
I just keep looking back and forth, who's coming out first?
So after waiting and waiting and waiting some more, Jamie's family finally arrived. And just a few minutes later, so did her husband. It was a moment they've all been waiting for.
It's been a trip, but good to be back home in the States and see my girl.
It's like a Christmas miracle.
So you couldn't resist. You have one day off here. Didn't have to work on Friday for being a celebrity, and you had to go out and find the TV cameras at the airport and say, film me.
Oh, my gosh. It was the craziest thing. I'm standing there, and this woman just walks up to me and says, so, I noticed you're waiting here. Well, who are you waiting for? And I was like, my husband's coming back from Pakistan, and, you know, my family's coming in, and they're like, oh, that's great. Do you mind if we just kind of hang out with you? Well, when they say hang out with you, that means they're going to put a camera 6 inches from your face and follow you everywhere. My poor family was so shocked, Glenn. They come off the airplane, come down the terminal, and I'm standing there with like cameras and a boom mic and everything. And my brother goes, "I didn't know you had a reality show." I was like, "No." My other brother's like, "This whole radio, the horse radio thing, is getting huge." I thought.
Chad must have been like, oh, God, I can't get away from it.
It's so funny. He comes down the runway, the walkway. Finally, my family's standing there. There's TV crew, news crew, and then he's with three other pilots that he was traveling with, and you should have seen them all split. I mean, they took off and left him walking down the terminal by himself once they saw. But he was a great sport. You know, I go up and I hug him. I'm like, baby, you're home. I go running up, I hug him, I throw my arms around him. I'm like, there's a TV camera on you. Just play along.
Only you, Jamie. Only you.
I mean, but what they wanted, I'm sure, was some story about some, you know, guy who's been gone for 8 months, a year in Iraq, and, you know, he'd been gone a month, but they asked me if he would be in uniform when he came through, and no, he wasn't in uniform, so I told them, but they still wanted to follow me around.
You were the first one they found, and you had two sets of family coming in. That was perfect.
Yeah, they were like, that's enough, we're done, that's good, we can bother this girl. They kept having me, Glenn, it was so fun. They're like, hey, could you walk over here to the terminal sign, and I want to see you looking up and pointing at the flight that your family's coming to, but we're going to be behind you, so act like we're not there. And then the camera is like 3 inches from my face, and I'm sorry, I am not a TV person. I act like a total spaz when I'm getting interviewed on TV.
We'll make sure we put a link to it on Facebook, okay, and in the show notes so everybody can watch it. The thing I was really happy about is you weren't wearing your dirtiest, muckiest barn clothes. You were actually looking pretty nice.
I dressed up, thank God. My brother comes in, he's like, are you wearing makeup? Like, in front of the camera.
I thought so, like, too. You know, I looked at that and went, is she wearing makeup, or did they do that for her?
That's what Justin, my brother, goes, did you wear makeup for the news thing? And I was like, no, I tried to look nice coming to the airport to pick up my family and my husband. God forbid I look like I didn't walk out of a barn.
Well,
so,
you did look, you looked very nice. I was very impressed. You actually do dress up.
Every once in a while, only when I'm going to see people I haven't seen in months.
Well, that was cute. We'll definitely put a link to that on Facebook so everybody can watch you greeting your hubby and give him a big wet one. He's much taller than you are.
Well, everybody's taller than me, Glenn.
So how was the family came in? Your dad's there, which, by the way, we're going to have to get him on the air some morning this week. He's there and your family's there. How was the holiday?
It was great. My dad's actually staring at me as we speak. So the holiday was good. You know what? I have all these horses in my backyard that kids can ride, and not one person will get on a dang horse. I can't convince anybody to go on a trail ride. Nobody will play with me. I don't understand. But it's been fun. You know, Christmas was nice. I did get the Zenyatta Briar. That was my favorite Christmas gift.
I know. You sent a picture of it on Christmas Day to me, and I just laughed.
Yay, Zenyatta. So it went really well. Everybody's still here, so I'm sure I'm waking up the entire house doing the show because it is, you know, like 7:15 on the Arizona time. So you're all having to deal with it. But how was your Christmas? You and Jennifer do anything special?
It was quiet. We stayed home, thank goodness, or we'd probably been stuck in Pennsylvania someplace right now. So we decided to stay home this year just because of weather issues and only having a couple of days. And we had a nice time. We actually went out to our friend Darcy, who comes on the show. Matter of fact, that's probably the Christmas story this year. She comes on the show. Well, she has this terrific boyfriend named Tony, who she's about a year now, I think. And she surprised him on Christmas with his very own Belgian mare. And she is the cutest thing ever. She had gotten this horse a couple of weeks ago. Jennifer went out to help her look at it. It's what, about 16-1, Jennifer?
Yeah, she's kind of medium sized for a Belgian, yeah.
But she has the most incredible mane and tail you've ever seen. It's almost white, and it's fluffy and just the most beautiful mane and tail and forelock. So
she
this
looks
is
like,
one.
She looks like a stuffed toy come to life. She really does.
She does. Exactly. And so it's like, and it was, it's the cutest Belgian you've ever seen, and just adorable, kind of a guy's horse, you know. And
great.
I just fell in love with the minute I saw it. But I'm a draft, and I love draft horses. So she actually told him that it was a boarder's horse, and she just sort of kind of played it like it was just any other horse that had come in to board at her barn. And then on Christmas Day, she put bows in its hair, and she took him out, and they went out to do the barn in the morning, and she told him. So he was very excited to have his very own. Yeah.
Now, is this Belgian broke to ride and everything? So they ride him?
Broke to death.
Oh.
This is a horse husband's horse. Jennifer, actually, you test rode him for out there when you went out to look at him, right?
Yeah, we both hopped on and rode her so we could both see how she went. And when we test rode her, just throw the tack on her. We rode her in a halter. We trotted her all over the little farm there in her halter, and she just tottered along. Just her default is stop and wait. Are you sure you want to do that, sir? Okay. But she just
perfect horse husband horse.
She's a tractor. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Pop the clutch
so
and she
cool.
just putters along.
Now the
so we got a picture
part-
on. I was just going to say we got a picture on Christmas
you.
Day of him on the horse, so that was cool, in the snow.
Oh, yeah, post that on Facebook. But the exciting thing for you is that now you have a horse to ride when Jennifer goes to ride Beaker.
That's true. I told him. I said, I'll tell you what, I said, if you don't, I texted him later in the day, I said, if you don't like your horse, I'll gladly take her, because she's a draft horse. She's absolutely dropped. You know, when she goes on when they go on trail rides and go out, this horse will gain some attention because the mane is just incredible. I've not seen a Belgian with a mane like that before.
Well, she doesn't have the curly hair. Usually Belgians have the curly manes, and hers is very, very sleek. And it looks like somebody used a, what do they call it, a flat iron that you use on your hair if you have curly hair?
flat iron their horse's mane.
Yeah, it looks like somebody flat ironed her hair, and she's got feathers that are just ginormous. And
she looks like a Clydesdale with the feathers.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Tony will learn to
By the way, Robert,
they're going to be clipping her ankles.
Yeah. Hey, Robert Dunn just posted on Facebook, so glad Jamie's husband made it home for Christmas. Woohoo. Need a picture of Zenyatta Breyer with Jamie's big smile next to it. We do need that, actually.
I'll work on that today. I will get that up there because, you know, much like a 9-year-old that gets a present like that, yeah, it's extremely valuable in the box. Of course, what is the first thing I do? I rip open the box, shred it, and start playing with it.
Well, you know, that's what they're for. You should actually buy two, one to save and be valuable, and the other one actually to play with, you know?
That's a great idea. But, yeah, I mean, who sells their Briar horse? I certainly don't. Mine are in no condition to resell, and I'm not patient enough to just leave them in the box and stare at them. So, yeah, I ripped that puppy out of there as fast as I could.
I bet you did. So did you actually get to go ride on Christmas Day, or did you give the horses a day off?
I did ride. I couldn't stand it. I mean, I think that the coolest thing about a nice, quiet Christmas day is that you can go out there by yourself and hop on. So I just hopped on my guy and went for a little trail ride. And like I said, nobody would ride with me at all. So, I mean, I got two brothers here, and I'm like, hey, you want to get – no. You sure you don't want to ride? No. My dad actually said today, he was like, maybe I'll ride with you later. And I said, okay.
Oh, we need pictures of that, okay? We need pictures.
Oh, don't you worry. He'll be riding the 25-year-old blind horse.
We know he won't go very far very fast then. He'll be fine.
This is true.
We actually, we didn't ride because it was kind of, well, the problem we have here now is we had about 4 more inches of snow on top of the ice that was here. So we have snow layer, ice layer, snow layer, and to go out riding in the fields and stuff right now is a little hairy. There hasn't been a whole lot of riding here right now. We've been kind of putting it off. And now I do have good news though for Lexington anyway, unlike the Northeast, and that is we're supposed to hit almost 60 here by the weekend, by New Year's Day. So we're finally gonna warm up a little bit. And maybe melt some of this off, and then Kentucky will basically be a great big mud hole. That's what will happen by 2 years. It is supposed to warm up, and we're very excited about that. And as I said, if you're just tuning in and started with us late, if you're up there in the Northeast and you're getting this blizzard and can make a call out, give us a call at 347-637-3238. We'd like to hear what's going on up there. I assume you did not have a white Christmas out there in Arizona, do you?
You know what? We did definitely not have a white Christmas. But talking to everybody in Atlanta, which is where I'm originally from, they had their first white Christmas in like 127 years on record. So that's
I know.
Crazy.
And your dad missed it. He was out there
Everybody
with you.
Everybody missed it. You know, all my brothers like, we missed the white Christmas. But you know what? The snow in Atlanta is not a fun thing. It's really not because everything just shuts down. It grinds to a screeching halt. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. There's no snow plows. There's no salt. So, it's not exactly a fun experience in Atlanta.
I know. And, you know, it's a little bit the same way here in Kentucky because they just don't know how to drive on it. And there were a bunch of accidents yesterday. And you know what? But we saw our share of accidents when we lived in Massachusetts, too. But they do have a better handle on clearing the roads. Well, we have our first guest on here, Jamie, and then we'll continue to talk about it. I got a little test for you guys later, too, for Jennifer and you. I have a little test that I'm going to give you later on, so we'll get to that a little later in the show as well. We'll see how you guys do. Now, first guest up here today is Samantha Penley. She is of thehorsepedia.com. It's a cool website that I actually came across on Twitter. And, you know, Horsepedia is, we're going to find out what that website's all about and why she started it. And it's kind of a cool website, and that's why I wanted to have her on was to chat a little bit about it. So good morning, Samantha, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Good morning.
Well, we're so glad that you're here today, and we were sorry we missed you last week. Kind of got fouled up in communication there, but we've got you now. So where are you out of, first of all? Where do you live?
I'm in San Diego. So I'm not having all the weather problems that everyone
No,
else
you're
is.
Not having snow right now, Samantha?
No. It's cold right now, but I don't think I have any reason to complain. So
So tell us about Horsepedia. How did that come about?
Well, it's kind of funny. I started it about 7 months ago, and I started it kind of as an outlet just for me to learn web development, and I'd always kind of had that idea of starting a website about horses just because in the past I didn't see that much when I was growing up. If I wanted to go buy a book, I could get information, but on the internet I didn't find that much. And so I kind of started it that way, and I thought I was going to do an online horse encyclopedia. That's kind of where the name came from. But as I was putting on the information and researching, I realized I didn't want to do that. I wanted to focus more on doing more of a social thing and helping organizations that need to get their name out there, because I feel like there's so many people doing really good things in the horse community, but they're not represented in the media at all, and they're not getting their voice out there. They're not getting the support and the recognition they deserve. So that's kind of where I shifted it to, and I've been getting a pretty positive response from it. So,
yeah, and you're a horse person too. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about your past.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've grown up riding horses. I've grown up working with a lot of nonprofits and helping out. So that's kind of where my passion comes from. That I've ridden all different kinds of styles of riding. I've never competed, but I do a lot of trail riding, and I've ridden cutting horses before. I've done all that, so I'm one of those people who've always been obsessed with horses, and just kind of trying to see what I can do with it on the site.
But the site's cool too, because you do I would call this the variety show website, because you do a little bit of everything on here, and it's kind of cool because you never know what you're going to find. And that's what I like about it. And it looks like you try and do regular updates.
Yeah, I've been trying to, because now I have people who have been contacting me, and I know that there's people who are coming to my site regularly, so I feel like it's my obligation to keep it going. I'd like to start getting video incorporated onto it. That's kind of my next goal. And start planning some events to raise money for charities and organizations. I guess the best way to kind of explain the site is, growing up, it was always hard for me to get into riding, because no one in my family rides. I mean, I grew up in Sacramento, California, where there's lots of horses, but if you don't live on a farm, or your family doesn't give you the outlet to ride, it's very hard to get involved. And it's always bothered me, because I feel like there's this huge gap in the horse industry. There's the hunter show, race horses, there's all that, and then there's the ranch rodeo style horses, and then there's all the people in the middle. And I feel like all the people in the middle don't really have a voice, and they're not getting the money they need, they're not getting the recognition. And I feel like right now it's a good time to start trying to do that. Social media is huge. The internet's big. It doesn't cost a lot of money to, promote people that way. So that's kind of where I'm going with it.
And you are absolutely right. It is tough. I mean, right now, you're right. There is that huge gap there. And that's kind of where we try and go with the Horse Radio Network, especially with this show that Jamie and I are doing. And by the way, thank you for putting the show on your homepage. I just noticed that. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
But, that's where we're trying to go with it, is trying to go to that middle, which is 80% of the riders out there who just ride because they like horses. And that's the part. There's a lot of websites that cater to the competitive athletes, and there's a lot of websites that can really cater to the trail riders, but what about everybody in between? And it is so hard to get started. You're absolutely right about that. It is so hard to get started in horses when you don't know what you're doing, when you have no clue where to start. And I really like also the charity angle that you're taking here. So it looks like you're going to choose a charity of the month on thehorsepedia.com to highlight and to raise money for.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with it. I just put that up. I figured if I could spend one whole month on, you know, a certain charity, that would be enough time, you know, to raise money, to get their name out there, to, you know, if I can, you know, start working with different TV and news and media outlets, you know, I think that would be enough time to really make a little bit of a difference in their organization. So that's where I'm going with it. I'm actually getting ready to meet with a lady today who has an organization called Cowgirls for a Cause. So we're going to see what we can do and see if we can collaborate and make some good things happen.
I think that's
cool.
Amazing. I do have a question. What do you think inspires you? Because you're obviously an extremely motivated young woman, and I'm like inspired hearing you. So I want to know what gets you going. What inspires you to do all this charity work?
Well, probably because growing up, those were my outlets to be involved with horses. You know, my family wasn't poor, but they didn't have a lot of money, so. You know, it was. I didn't have the option of taking, you know, 3 riding lessons a week. And, you know, I did go to horse camp and I did take riding lessons, but it wasn't something that was easy for me. So I always volunteered at local horse charities. I worked with an organization called Saddle Pals growing up. I always went to ranches and, you know, would muck stalls and so I could ride and, you know, I'd do a trade. And, I just realized there's so many people who love to get involved with horses, but they don't know how to. And so I'm kind of thinking if there's a way to do good and help these organizations that let kids, you know, get involved, but then also promote the horse world, because I don't want to discount, you know, the hunter jumper show world. I love that. And I love horse racing and, you know, rodeos and all that. If there's a way that we can all kind of work together and, you know, be more powerful that way. That's kind of my motivation, and also the economy, you know. Why not start my own little thing, right? So,
right on, girl. That's awesome. I mean, and not many people, you know, can say that they started with the background of volunteering just to be around horses. So I think what you're doing is great. You know, what else are we going to see coming up?
I think you're going to see video for sure, because I think that's important. You know, people want to be a part of it and see what's going on firsthand. And then hopefully some event planning. I really would like to, you know, start raising more money and recognition to these charities that are doing such a good job. I know one of them here in San Diego, Reins on Mains, does what they have what they call student riders. So children come out and they are students of the organization. So that's how she gets kids involved with riding, and it also helps her out because she, you know, has 10 horses and needs people to, you know, help lunge them and whatnot. So I really just would like to start focusing on that and raising money, but obviously it takes a team to do it. So I'm building my team right now.
Well, I got to say, you've done a good job, and congratulations. Keep us informed. Let us know. Drop me an email when you get your first charity thing going, when you get the first month going, and we'll mention it here on the air for you. I noticed also that
you had
posted a article from a friend of the show's here, and that's Frankie Lovato, talking about the greatest racehorse in history, Zenyatta, which I think Jamie would totally agree with. We like Frankie. He'll be on here again soon, I'm sure. So good luck with all of this. We appreciate you getting up early to join us this morning. And it is thehorsepedia.com. Put it on your favorites and check it out. Stop in every day. Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that was Samantha from thehorsepedia.com, and we'll post a link to that in our show notes as well. Well, Jamie, we have She Must Have Power, and She Must Not Have Blown Into the Ocean. We have Helena here from Rhode Island. Howdy, Helena.
Good morning, guys. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes, we can. So are you there? What's happened?
We're here. We're here. We're fine. I'll tell you, the worst of it is the wind. It is definitely windy here. Very windy. Yes, windy.
Now, we'll remind everybody that Helena is about a mile and a half from the ocean to the east of Newport, Rhode Island, right along the coast there. So you're right in the heart of this thing.
Yes, we are. We did get a lot of snow. I would say we have about 10 inches on the ground, and it snowed all through the night. And like I said, the wind is probably the biggest thing here. And because we're so close to the ocean, the wind is very – we did not lose power. But our neighbors across the street did, so I'm not quite sure what's up with that. I think we just got lucky.
Now, do you have a lot of snow?
We do.
You can't tell, can you?
Well, it's hard, right, because in some places it's 3 feet because the wind has blown it, and in other places, you know, there's maybe 6 to 10 inches. But we have a lot of snow. I kept the horses in this morning. Let's put it that way. I get the horses in.
Well, yeah, did you have them out last night?
They were out, pretty late. They were out pretty late. I brought them in at nighttime and tucked them in. They were ready to come in. I left their stall doors open, though, their Dutch doors, so they were able to come in and go as they pleased. And then probably by 6 or 7 o'clock last night, they were just hanging out inside their stall.
Wow.
Banging their food dishes.
So I guess we can officially call this a blizzard then, Helena?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. The snow stuck to the – that's what I think makes it – the snow sticks to vertical objects, like the trees and your windows and, you know.
So are we going to see pictures later on Facebook?
They're up right now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We'll definitely –
I put them on my personal page. I'll put them up on Stable Scoop in about 10 minutes.
Okay. All right, cool. So check out the Stable Scoop's Facebook page. And you'll find Helena's wintry pictures. Are the horses we had the one blizzard we had in Pennsylvania, we went into the barn and because it was so windy like you're getting now, the snow had creaked in every crack and crevice and the horses were all covered in snow inside the barn. That was kind of cool to see.
I remember that at Myopia we used to have to put the bales of hay in every door. And we'd have to pick them up like six bales high so the snow wouldn't blow in. We've got a couple of gaps in the barn there, and I stuffed it full of Grace's old baby blankets. And it was actually nice and toasty in there. You know, I think the snow acts as an insulator, so the more snow around all the nooks and crannies, the warmer it gets inside the barn.
Hey, Helena, first of all, I'm terribly sorry for what you're having to go through. It was, you know what? It rained here on Friday, which was just horrible. It was like 65 degrees and raining. We were just struggling.
I get
the
it.
Barn chores, the barn chores were hard. It was muddy. You know, it was 65 degrees. We were freezing to pieces. So I blanketed all the horses, got them tucked in.
Poor thing.
I know, it's horrible. It's such a stress. But what Glenn wasn't letting us talk about is we have a very big, a big day coming up, you and I. I think we have like 3 days to sort through and pick all of our nominees for the 2010 Hottest Horseman Awards.
I can't think of anything better to do in the middle of a storm than sit around and look at hot guys. Sorry, honey. My husband's home from work today.
Have you been seeing? I'm sure he doesn't mind.
No, I get to sit around and look at him all day long. I got my own hottie. You know, I can look at others, but I got my own at home.
I understand.
My fave.
So we've got some work to do. I do believe today is the final day of accepting nominations. Am I correct?
You are right. So if you have a hottie you want to nominate, get them in today. Jamie and I are going to be sitting around. Maybe we should have some cocktails, Jamie.
that would not be beneath me.
Yeah.
Yes,
today
she needs
is
an
the last
excuse
day.
For that?
we girls got to stick together. I'm helping her out. Yeah, today is the last day. We need to get all the nominations in. And then the big day, we're announcing them when?
The 30th, the last day of the year. That's not a weekend. So next Friday, or this Friday, actually, we will
it's
be announcing.
Thursday. Nope, hold it,
Thursday.
Guys. You're doing it on Thursday the 30th. That's Thursday.
Thursday 30th. Okay. See, you sure you haven't started drinking your cocktails yet?
They're still wearing off from yesterday. My family's in town, okay, Helene?
I wouldn't blame you if you just had it to deal with Glenn every day. I would get that.
To do
what? I understand.
Nice. Yeah, it has up the consumption just a wee bit. But anyway, yeah, last day for nominations, you guys. Get them in December 27th. And then Thursday you have to listen because Helene and I will be doling out the awards for the award show, the 2010 Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards.
Yeah. I could get some good music for that episode.
Oh, yeah. We've got to have
something. Need some, like, stripper music or... Is that what you were thinking?
We need, like, brush type music. He's good at picking the music. You know, you got to give him that much. He might not know much about Hot Horsemen, but he'll know. He'll pick just the right music to go with it, with the show.
I already have plans. I think you need different music, too, for each category. I kind of think you need different music for each category.
Hey, run with it. However you want to help out. It takes a village to pick the hottest horseman. So however you want to help out, Glenn, we're happy to have you.
All right, guys. Helena, you're breaking up a little bit on us. I think the wind is affecting your connection signal here a little bit. Hang in there. Don't, keep the fireplace going and the hot chocolate flowing.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Bye. Talk to you Thursday.
She really was getting cutting in and out there a little bit.
Yeah,
sounds like it's a good old nor'easter blowing up there in Rhode Island. Well, let's take a break. For our sponsor this half hour is Omega Alpha, and we'll be back then with our next guest. And later on in the show, I have a little test for Janie and Jennifer. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider, Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably, and I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. Well, thank you to Omega Alpha for their continuing support of the Horses in the Morning radio show. You're listening to Jamie Jennings out there in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, and I am Glenn the Geek here in Lexington, Kentucky, where it's a little chilly today, but not as bad as Helena was getting, as we just heard, up there in the Northeast. Not as bad at all.
Whenever I hear of people living in Rhode Island, it just makes me think of the TV show Family Guy, because I believe they're in Quahog, Rhode Island.
That's true. I think they are. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
And all you're right. I think of is, like, she must be living next door to Peter Griffin, you know, and hanging out with those guys. But,
I have not been
to
her house up there. I haven't been there yet. Jennifer's been there and stayed a couple of days in the summertime when it was nice and toasty warm and they could go down and take a walk at the beach. But it is pretty. You know, there is a quaintness about New England, and even in the wintertime, there is a quaintness to it. But, you know, I kind of don't miss it much. I'm really liking Lexington, where we get all four seasons, but they're except for this year, they're a little bit moderated.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and plus, you live in, like, the most beautiful place on earth. So, as far as being a horse lover
goes.
Yeah,
that kind of helps.
Absolutely. Let's see. I'm trying to think if we have our next guest on the line, but I think it's going to be just another minute, Glenn.
Yes, it is. And we did get a post on Facebook I wanted to mention because it was so sweet. It was from somebody I don't think we've heard from before. Her name is Shauna. And she wrote, this show is great. I download them onto my iPod and listen the next day. I listen to all the shows and have been so glad that I have discovered them. I hope you have Mary Ann Kennedy on again. Jamie and Glenn, you brighten my day. People must think I've lost my mind when I'm laughing out loud. My husband and I have standardbreds and race at Pompano Park, which is in beautiful sunny Florida. I would nominate him for the hottest horse husband, but I think, or he already thinks I embarrass him enough. That's from Shauna. And thank you, Shauna. Do you realize we're up to 927 now on Facebook? We gained almost 300 in a week.
That's awesome. So let's keep that rolling. Let's have 1,000. Let's set the goal to have 1,000 by the end of the week. What do you think?
I think that's a good goal, and especially by the time you guys do the official award ceremony. And, of course, the goal is going to be to get some of these guys on the phone on Thursday, right?
Absolutely. So if we call you, we're going to line up some finalists and then announce the winner and put them on the air. So we're gonna attempt to do all this with the technology that we have, and poor Jennifer's going to be working very hard. But we will have, hopefully, most of the winners. Now, there are some people that have been nominated that are just, like, really famous people that I don't know how to get a hold of. But we can certainly try and stalk them on Facebook. And I have been doing my due diligence trying to get Zenyatta's new groom on the air, and to no avail. He will not respond back to me. I'm kind of upset with Charles and Zenyatta. I'm calling him out.
All right, then I don't think that Zenyatta should win Horse of the Year then. Change my mind.
I have a couple days left, okay?
All right, I think our guest is there, Jamie.
Yay, fantastic. Well, we're going to talk right now to Emerita, let me say it, Ivold. And she is a kind of, we like to do these breed shows where we highlight a breed that some of us may not have heard of or may not be that familiar with. And this is actually one that I am actually a wee bit familiar with, but I, of course, will probably say it wrong. I think it's Akeltiki, but I could be incorrect in Akelteki. So, Emerita, good morning. How do you say
it? Hi, good morning.
How do you say the Akeltiki?
Well, it's a bit of a debate. I say Akeltiki. Some other people say Akelteki. And then, of course, in their home country, they say Akeltiki.
So,
I want to hear that one, Jamie.
the Akeltiki. and what is the home country?
It's the region of Turkmenistan. So they come from the Akhal Desert, and that's what they're named after, from the Tiki tribe.
Okay. Now, the reason that I am relatively familiar with this breed of horse is when I went to school at the Kentucky Horse Park, there was one of them actually in the breeds barn, and we got commissioned with taking it out for rides. And the thing that this horse would do, they're very wiry, thinly built, this one was anyway, and man, this thing would go all day long. You could not tire it out. Am I correct? Is that the right way to look at it?
Yeah, definitely. And in Turkmenistan and back in the old days, they were basically used as war horses, which is kind of like an endurance race. They would go long distances, raid a village, and then run back home, and that's how they would live.
That's amazing. So what is your affiliation with the breed?
Well, I'm a breeder. I've been breeding them for the last 10 years, and I fell in love with them when I was a little kid, and I saw them in my breed book, and it's probably the same picture everybody saw, because that picture's pretty famous, of this beautiful golden, silvery-looking horse standing in the dunes, and he just looks amazing. And I thought, oh, my God, I would love to have one of those when I grow up, but I always thought it's such an exotic horse, I could never own one. It's like for kings or queens only. And now, 30 years later, here I am.
And how many do you have? How many have you bred? And how prolific is this breed in the United States?
Well, they're almost extinct. So worldwide, it's kind of hard to say because of course, there's quite a lot in Turkmenistan, but by quite a lot, it's maybe between 1,000 and 2,000. It's hard to say because even in Turkmenistan, their record keeping isn't great right now. The next country that has the most is Russia, and then there's Europe and America, Canada, and there's a handful in Australia. So, anyways, in America, there's maybe 500.
Oh my gosh! Wow, there's not very many at all. So, why save this breed? Why are there so few, and why have they not become a large breed? You know, they're very athletic. They're very beautiful. What's wrong? What's going on?
That's a head scratcher that we've been thinking about long and hard. And this is my personal opinion, is that the first breeder who imported them to America was an avid eventer, and he actually hired professional riders, but they did not have the internet. So nobody really knew about it unless you went to those events and saw the horses. But even then, it's when you don't advertise much, then it fizzles out pretty quick. And I think nowadays most people don't really ride their Akeltikis. They just, they admire them, they breed them, but they don't do much with them. And we're like a few of the people that actually ride them, event them, and show them. But we also have, we advertise a lot. We have a Facebook, we have a blog, we write articles, we always have ads on Dream Horse and other websites. And I think people nowadays, they want to have a breed that's proven if you're going to do sports. And so I think
right.
We have a little niche now where it's taking off, where now people have seen what our horses can do. And so if you want to do it, if you want to do three-day eventing or dressage or jumping, but you want something different, then people come to us for an Akeltiki.
Well, Amrita, I noticed that...
it's slowly taking off.
Amrita, I noticed that you're an eventer as well, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was checking out your Facebook page. I think the breed is an interesting story here, but you're an interesting story too. You're just nuts. I was looking at your pictures on your Facebook page. Not only are you an eventer, which, by the way, is dangerous enough, Jamie is as well, and my wife, but you decide that that's not fast enough, you're going to do something even more dangerous.
Actually, that was before I started eventing. I've been horse crazy all my life, and in your 20s, I had to work and didn't have money for a horse, and I traveled. And on my travels, I got acquainted with a motorcycle. And then, I moved to America and met my husband, and we were both like motorcycles. To me, it was my replacement horse. I would actually pet it. I wanted to race. And then in Seattle at the time, the president of our road racing club was a girl. And so I was like, wait a minute, if she can do it, I can do it. And so I started racing. And then my husband realized how much fun I was having. So then the second year, he started racing as well. And we ended up racing the same identical motorcycles in the same class. It was kind of crazy, but we did. And it was a lot of fun. Road racing motorcycles is nothing.
I was
going to
say, let's clarify for everybody. You're doing the kind of racing where they're going. This is speed road racing where you're going around the turns and you're leaning at like 90 degrees with your knees on the ground, and
yeah.
You're doing the really fast stuff.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's almost like a mind game because you have to be. The minute your mind dilly-dallies or thinks about something else or you look somewhere else, you're off the track. You have to be so concentrated, and because everything goes so fast. It's a thrill. makes eventing slow motion.
I was just going to say, so you get the cross-country course, and you're going, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah, but the thing, the good thing I learned from it is, like, you have to know your lines, and that really helps in eventing, because if you don't have your line, you don't have a jump.
This is true, but I want to ask you, how on earth, woman, you can be on a motorcycle and lean into the turn. My husband has a motorcycle, and I rode on it once, and we almost crashed, because I did not want to lean into the turn. As a rider, you know, you try to stay through the turn, you try to stay balanced, but on a motorcycle, you lean into it, and I couldn't do it. I was scared to death. I thought I was going to fall over. And here you are. Your knee is 2 inches from the ground on a motorcycle, and you're going like 80 miles an hour. How do you do that and still
ride? Actually, well, you have racing tires, and they're really sticky. And so, yeah, and you have knee pads.
I'm sorry, there wouldn't be one sticky enough for me.
So you just put your knee down so you know where the ground is. And you can put it down, or some people leave their knee up. I like to have my knee down so I know how far, where I was at. You get used to it.
Eureka, there would not be a tire in this world sticky enough for me to be able to do that.
I guess it's not for everybody.
That's true. But you know what? You wouldn't find Glenn out galloping across a cross-country course either. So I'm sure he has his own outlet. But I think it's impressive. I think it's amazing. And I don't know how you're able to balance the two of them. But are you still racing? And are you still racing against your husband?
No. We stopped racing a long time ago. Yeah, more than 10 years ago.
Okay, so this isn't a fresh thing. Gotcha. So now you're all into the horses. You're saving the Akwatiki breed. And, you know, if I was to get an Akwatiki, what do you think the best thing to do? What's the best sport that they're good at?
Well, I think three-day eventing, because in the dressage arena, the judges, if you want to go higher up in the levels, in the dressage arena, I think the judges are used to looking at warm bloods, and then they see a swelled Akwatiki, and they're like, what the heck is this? And although they do muscle up, and with correct riding, they get their back muscles going, they get the neck muscles going, and they will start looking like a dressage horse. But I think for the higher level, people want to do like everybody else, and they want to get a more classic-looking horse. And there's judges that will, even with three-day eventing, where you see a lot of different breeds, at the lower levels, you come in with your Akwatiki, and then you have a nice test, and then the next person will have a more warm-bloody type horse, and they'll get a much better score. And I think it's just the look of the horse and the body type, and it's unfortunately, but it's the way it is.
I've always said that in dressage, you know, I had a very accurate thoroughbred. I mean, he was certainly not fancy, but he was always very accurate, and he would do the test perfect. But then a less accurate, flashy warm blood would come in and score better, you know, just simply because they have that look. So I know exactly what you're talking about when you say they just don't quite have that thing that these big warm bloods have.
Yeah, and it's a shame, because it's not fair, because it should be the movements, and it should be the accuracy of the tests, and they're gorgeous to look at. It's just, well, I can kind of understand if you're a dressage judge, and basically what they see every day is the warm bloods, and then they come to our little silly cross country events. Well, not little and silly, but it's just that they're not used to seeing what we do. They're also not used to seeing us do dressage in the grass.
Yeah.
A lot of dressage people would freak out at that their horse has to canter in the grass. So I think it throws them for a loop. But there are some really nice dressage judges that go for the test and the rider, and don't go by what the breed was. And it's very refreshing. So we don't give up. And then the jumping. I think any kind of jumping, you know, the hunter jumper or the speed jumping. Oh my gosh, the Akalfikis can jump so well, and they're so athletic. They're like cats, and I think it's going to catch on.
We went to the
World Equestrian Games because we had a booth there, and we had tickets to the speed jumping. Oh my goodness, I know these horses can do it. It's a matter of finding the right rider and sending them off with a knuckle tiki. It is so amazing.
Are they still used for endurance as well?
Oh yes, yeah, and there's a lot of people doing endurance, but they're not professionals. They're just hobbyists. So I think that's why they've never really made it to the top. And or there's one lady who does it in our group, and you know, she's by herself. She's a breeder, and she probably has her hands full with life and then trying to make it to right and running her business. So it's hard. We know it's hard. It's hard to make
well,
it to the top.
It's hard to do that in any sport with any breed. So we certainly do, you know, wish you guys the best of luck. And thank you for working on this breed and making it more prolific and making it a more popular thing. You certainly are passionate about it. And what's your website so people can find out more?
It's www.akaltiki.cc.
.cc. Okay, we'll put a link to that on our show notes. Thank you so much, Amarita, for calling in and talking about the Akaltiki.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, it's
bye,
Marita.
Happy New Year.
Yep. Thank you, you
Happy
too.
New Year. Bye-bye. All right.
All right, so that was Amarita from the Akaltiki. Now we know how to say it anyway.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like they're like, you know, where we had the Knobstroopers on, we were all incorrect. But this woman didn't seem to mind that we might have pronounced it a little bit differently. And Marita was a good sport.
So you know what I got out of that conversation? The Akaltiki is the everyman's exotic horse. If you want to own an exotic breed that belongs to the every horse person, the Akaltiki is for you.
Yeah, Glenn, I was waiting for you to do some online shopping.
I did. I was, actually. But I only found one in the entire country that was for sale. There's
Amarita's website, there's a bunch.
Oh, is there? Okay. Because
yes.
I was looking. I was over at equine.com, and then I tried Dream Horse, and I was surprised they actually had it listed in the breeds.
Yeah.
But there was one full Akaltiki. They seem to cross them a lot with Arabians, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And Thoroughbreds, which kind of makes sense, too. And the one thing about the Akaltiki that, you know, when you take a look at the pictures of them, they are kind of funky looking. They're long
they're
and lank
wee,
and
wiry.
Lean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see why, you know, just in the dressage ring, people would go, what is that?
Yeah.
But, you know, that wiriness probably makes them excellent jumpers like she's talking about and certainly excellent, you know, at 100 miles at a clip.
Yeah. When you go to YouTube and you search Akaltiki, there's some really cool video on there. And in the dressage realm, and she pointed this out very accurately, the ones that have been schooled and are dressage specialists, it is amazing how their shape changes. And there's a really cool video on there of a Akaltiki by the name of Absent from 1960-something. He was in several Olympic Games, and he actually got the highest score to date in dressage at one point. And it is amazing how their shape changes according to their speciality. Yeah. And they're a unique horse. It's not just their color is amazing, too. They have this real unique hair shaft that makes them kind of glow. But their whole body shape is just so cat-like. I mean, I think that's a good comparison. And then a couple of the videos they were jumping, it's a very different jumping style than what you see in a warm blood where they just power over everything. They're so light on their feet, and they look like they could, if you weren't a really good rider, they could dump you really easily. Very athletic.
Today's musical interlude is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information from vaccines to worming, farrier, dentist visits, all of that together in an easily accessible place. that's already in your pocket, and that's on your iPhone. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events coming up, like vaccines, worming, farrier, all of that stuff. You can do that right on your iPhone for less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It's $3.99. You can keep that all together. It's about time the company started coming out with things like this for the horse world. You know, we have this technology. We might as well use it to make our lives easier, and that's what Pocket Stable does. Visit them at pocketstable.com. Well, this song today, Jamie, is brought to you in memory, actually, of two people. One is somebody from the eventing world. Her name was Becky Broussard, who is very prominent in the eventing world. She supported eventing as an owner, and she as a founder of the event at Rebecca Farm, which obviously has her name. You know, that event has become very popular on the West Coast.
And oh, yeah, it's very, for sure.
Yeah, and I've never been there. I want to go. It's supposedly a beautiful event. You know, she was a leader within the United States Eventing Association and in so many other ways in the sport of eventing, and she will be missed. If you see a picture of her and you've been to events around the United States at a Rolex, you've seen her at those events, and she will be sadly missed. And that, you know, we give the best to her family and the whole eventing community. The other one is for a friend of mine that I worked with in a previous job to this one, actually up to about a couple months ago. I just talked to him about 4 weeks ago. His name was Rich. He wasn't into horses, but I worked with him, talked to him every day. And he actually called me about a month ago to say that he was listening to the morning show. He had listened to a couple of the shows with you and I, and he wanted to give me crap about you being better than me. So he had called me about that. But he had a massive heart attack about 2 weeks ago, and he actually died on Christmas Day. They kept him alive for 2 weeks, but he didn't make it past that. So I have a song that I think is fitting for both Becky and Rich, and this is for them. It's called Horses in Heaven by Marianne Kennedy.
Kid, and I first put my hands on a horse. They touched my soul, and they've been a part of me, way down deep to my core. And I believe I was born with this love. Just one life. They're the best we're given down here below. I don't want to fly when it's my time. I just want to ride horses in heaven. Under clear blue skies, and we'll spend forever riding with my friends on the trail that has no end. If there are the best we're given down here below. I don't want to fly when it's my time. I just want to ride horses in heaven. Oh,
Kentucky, and we, and for Jamie Jennings and Jennifer, we are here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Omega Alpha. I want to also give a shout out to Michelle, our friend down there who does the movie reviews for us in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She had an unfortunate incident happen on Christmas Day where her two-year-old filly by the name of Sprite actually colicked, and she had to bring it in Christmas night for colic surgery. Ended up doing a three-hour colic surgery, and I'm happy to report so far that things are going well, and the filly seems to be hanging in there at the hospital. But
boy,
Christmas
was tough for some people.
I know.
I'm so sorry to hear about your friend, man. That's tough. And obviously, you know, the Broussard family and the event at Rebecca Farm is just a phenomenal thing to do, and then to hear about Michelle's filly, man, it just, you know, you just got to live every day like it's,
yes,
that's, it's, you know,
that
could be your last.
Michelle still came out this morning on our Facebook page and nominated her husband for the hottest horse husband. And she said on there, the latest is that he sat with me at the vet school all Christmas night. And I noticed on Rick's Facebook page the next day, he said, can you do Christmas do-overs? So I think they had a tough day on Christmas with the filly, and I know I'm not sure if that filly, Jennifer, I don't know if you remember, if that filly was one of their Cleveland Bays. Remember we talked about Cleveland Bays?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that was one of their Cleveland Bays. I can't remember if it was a cross. I just don't remember.
I don't remember.
So
I'm thinking, I thought Sprite was one of the half breeds, but I could be wrong. Fill us in.
Yes, she'll let us know. I'm sure Michelle we'll keep an eye on how her horsey is doing at the horse hospital. Well, speaking of things happening on Christmas Day, you can count on me, everybody. Every day I come through with horse rescues. Well, there were some of them going on over the holidays.
Oh, gosh.
Fire crews were called to the house at Worm Rumbly. This is in Australia, around 6 p.m. yesterday, which was Christmas Eve. It is not known how exactly the 20-year-old gray mare, known as Piper, got into the pool. But Superintendent Warwick Kidd from the New South Wales Fire Brigade said it was no small task getting the horse out. It was almost 11:30 p.m. before they were able to get a Piper out. 5 hours later, the vet was on site to keep the animal calm, while fire crews used a giant sling and a crane to remove the horse from the pool. But trees and a fence had to be removed to get the crane into place. So it sounds like it was a major project to get this horse out of the pool. All he wanted to do was take a dip. It was hot.
Oh, my gosh. This horse got into the pool. Do they not have steps? Or what's the deal? My horse, I could just lead out the steps of the pool, not have to wait for a crane to cut down trees. First of all, that's one thing. Second of all, don't they have that rule in Australia where you have to have a fence around your pool to prevent stuff like this
and
from happening?
I never had a pony that would walk through a darn puddle. This one jumped in the pool. I mean,
you make a good point, my friend. That should be an eventing pony. It probably was.
Oh, here's a good one, too. I don't know where this was, actually. I forgot to put down where it was, but it was in Conway, wherever Conway is. Conway police spent most of Thursday morning in pursuit of a young horse escaped from his pasture and ventured into residential neighborhoods. Then he should have got the Wrangler guy from California. According to the CPD, public information officer, police were notified after a horse was seen grazing at the elementary school. I guess that's not a sight you see every day. Spooked by police presence, the horse ran and led officers on a near three-hour chase down White Oak Drive to Shady Lane Drive and across Prince Street before being caught at a residence on Sherwood Drive. They said the horse was not injured during the pursuit and is safely back with his owner. God, I hope he had shoes on, or his feet are a mess right now. Yeah,
Glenn, I have to jump in here because my dad is here and I gotta let him tell you we're doing a story, Dad, on the Conway police spent most of Thursday morning in pursuit of a loose pony. Do you remember any pony that we might have had that escaped in the confines of Atlanta?
I remember several ponies. ponies. We had to chase down as far as North Lake Mall one time.
Yeah. We had an escape artist named Snowflake, and Snowflake decided one day, and it was because I was at summer camp and she was looking for me. She left and went across a freeway and went to the mall. So she was doing some shopping, and Snowflake, apparently when my dad went to go look for the pony, because he's like, oh, the pony's not in the yard, and we lived in the city. This was not a normal place to have horses. And he walked by this couple that was sitting on a porch, and they were sitting on their swing, drinking back and forth, drinking wine, swinging back and forth. And my dad said, "Hey, did you guys see a white pony run by?" And both of them turned and looked at each other, and they go, "Oh, you saw it too?" They thought that they were so drunk on the wine that the pony runs by, and neither one of them mentions it to the other one. So we certainly understand the residents of Decatur and Atlanta understand that if they were to see a white pony, just call us. Just call us and we'll come and get it.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, we talk about fences. I don't care what kind of fence you put up. I can't tell you how many times we'd get the call that our horses were in the neighbor's yard eating their grass. You know, we'd have to go rustle them up. And that was a mile away. We had a mile-long lane. And there was one night I remember at the other place where we lived right along a road where we get, you know, knocking at the door at 2 in the morning. You know, if you're a horse person and you get your door knocking at 2 in the morning, you know your horse is loose. You just know that's what it's for.
My dad just said that. He goes, did you tell him that it only happens in the middle of the night?
That's right.
And it's so true. It's always in the middle of the night that they get away, and then you get, you know, there's never a good sign when the policemen are banging on your door at 2 a.m. Never a good sign. Nothing good happens when the police bang on your door at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. And Snowflake, that's an appropriate name for a horse that lives in Atlanta, where you pretty much never had snow. Yeah.
My white pony was, I had to name Snowflake. She looked like a big snowflake.
Well, Michelle just posted on Facebook that she must be listening, that she's a three-quarter bred Cleveland Bay. Thanks, guys. And she says she's going to visit her now. And then Holly posted on a positive note, I had a lovely Christmas, and hopefully today we'll just have as good a birthday. Well, happy birthday, Holly, from all of us here at Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, happy birthday, girl. It's always tough for the people that have birthdays around Christmas. I think it's like if you have a birthday on Christmas, I think you kind of get, like, screwed a little bit because you don't get, oh, wait, here's your birthday present, and now here's your Christmas. People just lump it all into one, especially somebody like Holly who's a couple of days after Christmas. Chad's birthday is January 8th, and I had to separate the presents and give him some for his birthday and some for Christmas. So I wonder if it's tough for people like Holly. Do you guys have do you know anybody with a Christmas birthday?
Do we have anybody? I don't think so. And it is tough for people like that. I know some friends that have kids that are around the holidays, and some of them, the one I know, instead of celebrating on on the birthday was on Christmas Day, and instead of celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day, they do Christmas Eve, and they do the birthday on Christmas Day. That's how they got around it. So you know, I know that different people do that different ways, but I'm not done yet. We want to send our best out. You know, we keep mentioning the town of Norco, and for anybody that didn't listen to our first month of shows here in November, we got a bunch of calls from people in Norco, which is an equestrian community out there in California, and they've sort of become our adopted town now. We're sort of partial to Norco. Well, and you know, every time a story comes up on Google about Norco, it, of course, catches my eye, and every time it's a horse story. Well, apparently there was one horse and all that flooding they had 2 weeks ago there. They had a lot of horses that were rescued because of the flooding, and they have one horse that's still missing, but they're still actively looking for that horse. So we wish them the best in finding that horse in Norco. And then on a social lighter, I don't know if this is a lighter note, but on a social note, I just came up with all these stories today. Had a couple of days off, so they piled up. Mark Todd left his wife. We don't often do the gossip column, but this is actually out of a newspaper in New Zealand. It was a whole big long article out of a newspaper in New Zealand where he's quite a celebrity, and apparently he left his wife in 24 years and up what they called up sticks permanently to England, moved to England.
So, geez,
I don't know what's going on out there in horse world around the holidays here. It was an interesting week for horse news, weekend for horse news.
Well, I know that a lot of times with this kind of news, they try to announce it if they can around a holiday and on a Friday afternoon, because then hopefully everybody's forgotten about it by Monday morning. But this one is a huge story because, I mean, yeah, Mark Todd is a giant celebrity in New Zealand. I mean, he used to be. I do think he's an amazing equestrian, amazing rider. So I'm sure that this, is for the best of them. And they have two kids, but they're a little bit older. So I think they're 22 and 17. The article says. So you know, they're gonna do what's best for them, and good luck.
Well, if you're in the market for a little bit of a horse property, theirs is for sale.
So you're gonna see if you're in the market for a horse guy.
No.
Mark Todd's available.
He could go on your single list right now. Family. Yeah. Their farm is for sale for a cool $2.25 million. Has a two-story weatherboarded.
Is that pounds? Because if it's pounds, that's a lot more than $2.25 million.
And they have five bedrooms, a swimming pool, and a tennis court, plus 25 fenced paddocks and a world-class stable complex. And it's only 25-hour flight here from the United States. You could live there or maybe visit on the weekend. So. Oh, it also has a two-bedroom staff cottage. I wonder if we could just buy that. Maybe they'd just sell us that. Yeah.
That's my
wild news for the day. That's what I've got for news. And I'm just looking. Yeah, go ahead.
I got the official. I just want to let you know about the best Christmas gift for a horse owner or a dog owner ever. I've got it figured out. And here's what it is. It's this vacuum cleaner. Glenn, have you heard of this? It's a robot vacuum cleaner.
Oh, yes, the Roomba.
This is the coolest thing ever. First of all, we got the 550 edition. I got it for Christmas. And you just turn this, like you hit a button, and it goes and it memorizes your room, and it vacuums your house without you touching it at all. Then when it gets tired and the battery starts wearing out, guess what it does? It finds itself the charger and goes and drives up onto the charger and charges itself up. This is the coolest thing ever. If you have a horsewoman in your life or you know a dog owner, this is the best Christmas gift to get anybody who has tile floors because, oh, my gosh, it's awesome.
Well, I'm thinking that we need one of those for stalls and for paddocks, too.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant. If I could have a Roomba clean my pasture, that would be the greatest idea ever. Like those big vacuum things, but they would be like not man driven. They just go do it themselves. Oh, somebody poops, let me go clean it up. Okay, we're back.
Yeah, sort of that's like those automatic kitty litter cleaner things. By the way, our cat would have a field day with a Roomba running around the house every night. We can't sleep now, he's so noisy at night. I can't imagine what that would be like. That Roomba would never get back to the charger. It would be cornered.
He would destroy it. The beast would destroy the Roomba. But you know what? It was funny. The Basset Hound just really didn't care about the Roomba at all. She just kind of laid there and let it vacuum around her. So Basset Hounds aren't motivated by mud.
Did it try and push the dog out of the way? Or was it?
It tried to climb up her, I'm sure, all the hair on her coming off.
So how big a bag can the Roomba have?
Well, you know, it's not a bag. It's this little compartment and that you just pull off and you dump it. And I ran the thing for about 15 minutes. And then, you know, sent it back to the charger because you can hit this button. It's called dock. And you hit the button and it, like, drives itself over to the charger and docks itself on this thing. It's so cool. So then I thought, well, let me see how much hair it got because I kind of was like, is this really vacuuming anything up? 15 minutes, Glenn, I had to dump this massive 10-pound wad of dog hair out of it. So, A, it was really working, and B, it's got plenty of room, but not for my house. I think I'm going to have to clean it out pretty regularly. I don't think it's going to run by itself all afternoon.
I do have a question. You know, you said your dad, didn't you say your dad got this for you? Was it?
Yes.
Well, so does that mean that when the company came, he saw how dirty your house was, and he went and bought this for you? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Listen, Glenn, I live on a farm, for crying out loud, and I live in the desert on a farm. Do you understand how dusty it gets here? I mopped the floor and dusted the day before they came, and my brother walks in the house, and he goes, "You got a problem with dust, huh?" And I'm like, "I just dusted it." This is awesome compared to what it usually looks like, jerk.
Yeah, I can imagine sand at the beach is a problem, but sand, you know, where you guys live, sand is a big problem.
Oh, my gosh, it's out of control. So, yeah, we have to dust all the time. It's a pretty continual thing. So, I mean, even, like, my spice rack gets dusty in the kitchen. So I have to dust that off all the time. Yeah, so it's a bit of a mess. So the Roomba is going to be a welcome addition to the Flyover Farm family.
There you go. Well, you know, I discovered something too this weekend. I wanted to tell everybody is that if you have a game console, a Wii or an Xbox, that gets an internet connection, like the Wii's nowadays, you can get internet connections on it. Well, I tested it out over the weekend, and you can listen to our show on your TV set through your Wii.
What?
You just go to the internet connection on your Wii. You choose the internet, and you go to horseradionetwork.com or horsesinthemorning.com, and you go to an episode you want to listen to.
Is it .com or
.mobi?
Nope,
you go to the .com one.
.com.
And you hit play, and it worked. You just can listen to the past shows right over your TV set. So for your Wii.
Now,
or your Xbox.
Can you actually play the Wii and listen at the same time? So I could listen to Horses in the Morning while I'm challenging my family in a game of tennis?
No, you can't Wii when you listen to us.
Okay. Because we can really distract them, throw them off their game. You have to listen to me while I'm kicking your butt and bowling.
Get this, though. Jennifer got 8 strikes in a row. She had a game of 256 in Wii on the other day.
Oh, no way. Are you serious?
It was bowling, by the way.
Bowling, yeah, she bowling. Did. She was bowling. She got 8 strikes in a row.
Wow. We need to take you to Vegas.
I know. It was incredible. It was incredible. Well, we didn't
Jennifer,
have time.
Let me ask you. Wait,
yeah.
What are the odds? What are the odds that you would be able to do that in a real bowling alley?
Way. I have picked up a real bowling ball. I have bowled exactly twice in my lifetime.
So 8 strikes in a row would be a little tough.
I could probably actually get the ball down the lane maybe 2 or 3 times before my fingers fell off. Could not do
it. I remember a lot of bouncing, actually.
Yeah, I just didn't remember Glenn threw the ball the wrong direction.
Oh, no. Did you clear out
the
path behind
us? Yeah, it went behind us, and everybody screamed and ran. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's awesome.
Well, we're not going to have time to get to our quiz today, I'm afraid. We chatted too long about holidays and Roombas and stuff. But I have this little thing that Denny Emerson did. We'll get to it later in the week. What he did, it's not actually a quiz, but I'm going to make it a quiz for you guys. He did an outline of what he thinks should be horsemanship goals for kids. And each day he posts new ones on his Facebook page. And I took what I considered the top 20 of them. And I want to find out whether you guys did these things when you were kids, whether you actually accomplished any of these goals. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to the two of you and find out if you actually accomplished any of these goals when you were kids. So
that's cool.
Well, and whether,
you know, looking
and
at
whether
these,
we agree with them.
Yeah, he's a little harsh. I mean, some of these things are like, if you haven't done this, you are an absolute idiot and you're not a horse person. So make sure you want to go in the backyard and start working a little bit harder.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I want to talk about them. I want to also see if we agree with them, because there's some here I'm going, well, I don't want my kid doing that. So,
yeah.
So we'll get to that. We have a lot of cool things planned for this week coming up. We have some neat guests that are coming up in future days here. But we also have Thursday, I'll be off the show, and we have the winners will be announced for the Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards with Helena B., Jennifer H., and Jamie J. We'll all be talking and oogling and drooling and things. I'm going to have to get new microphone covers after that day. And then and then on Friday, we have our special host episode, all host episode that we all got together, all the hosts of the Horse Radio Network, and we'll be putting that on a Friday. That'll give us, that's recorded, so that'll give all of us a chance to enjoy another long weekend. It was weird, though, Jamie. We got to Sunday, and we went, wow, we have another day off. It was really weird.
Isn't that fun?
It was definitely fun. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening in. And, of course, you can listen to all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com, all the different shows on the network. There's 8 of them now. You can also follow us on Facebook, help get us up to 1,000. Tell all your friends, please, about Horses in the Morning. Post it on Facebook. You know, go out in the streets and do your town crier thing. Whatever it takes, let all your horsey friends know about Horses in the Morning here at 9 a.m. Eastern every day. And, of course, we're on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Yeah, you can, if you miss the live show, listen to it on your Wii or on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes, iPhones, whatever. We're everywhere. Tell 100 friends. And we'll be back tomorrow morning. And you guys, I hope you had a great Christmas and you're going to have a happy new year. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Bye, everybody. Ride safe and be careful in the Northeast. And Helena, hold on to something real tight.